Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Salad or Dolly, threw a great party. We all drank Bacardi, it got kind of gnarly. We're light as a feather, we're tougher than leather. Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Good day, sunshine.
Good day, mate. First pod from Sydney, Australia, 2024. We missed the regular pod earlier this week because we were literally on the plane.
Yes.
But now we've settled in, no drama, no stress. Couldn't be more cool, calm and collected. Not at all.
I like your TV persona.
You do. Part of my up-leveling in this trip, I decided to re-enter Sydney with a renewed sense of style. I went for my first barber trim today, beard and top.
I love it.
It was an intimate experience. I've never had that before.
Yeah, I think it looks really good.
It was kind of nice. You know, when you're normally getting a haircut, at least I tend to watch very closely and micromanage because you're concerned about all the things that could go wrong. With a crew cut, you just let it all go. There's very little room for error.
Maybe if you always got them your whole life, you would. I mean, I can see some kind of men getting very fussy about how they do the cut.
Well, there were certain details that I was learning the lingo, I guess. Yeah. Like he asked me if I wanted a box at the bottom, which I didn't, I think. I'd see that as like kind of a wrap.
Remember
thing
when I took you to that place that was like for not fades. It was like, I found a place for you in LA.
The word fae has not been faded. Used in West Hollywood. Oh, fades. It was for fades. It was for fades on fae.
It wasn't fae. Well, maybe.
No, it was kind of fae, but it was macho, wasn't it? But yeah, it was, I mean, gay.
Macho and fae is metro.
Yeah.
Sexual.
Can you be fae and not gay?
Of course.
Okay. So it was gay. It was a gay fade situation.
Really?
Or was it not gay? It was crypto. I guess that's not gay. I just heard a lot of people talking crypto.
I don't know what planet you're on.
All I know is I don't have a mic stand because we haven't got mic stands.
I'm getting my workout holding this giant mic. My up leveling is just Barbra Streisand nails.
I know. So give us a little rundown of this, Manny, like how you made the decisions you made. These are gels?
Yeah, gel extension. I went sort of almond shape.
Okay. And what does that denote? What does that signify?
I find flat shape is just, I don't know. I just like aesthetically the square top.
It's a box line. I didn't want a box on my head either.
We don't want to be boxed in.
No right angles.
Yeah, that's right. We want a little bit of rounding.
Yeah.
Rounded corners.
Okay, so you got an almond shape.
Yeah, I didn't go, so I didn't want it too see-through, but I went a little too opaque because it looks more real, I think, if it's slightly see-through. When my nails are shorter, you know, I go red. I love shortish red.
Classic red. This is a tribute, I think, to your old Hollywood roots.
Red is so...
Red lipstick, red nails.
Yeah.
The femme fatale, starlet, the ingenue.
Exactly. And the longer ones are giving more like Paris Hilton,
okay. Maybe
Barbara. I'm
Babs.
Still in.
You're still deep in.
Oh
Babs.
Yeah,
the audiobook. Well, it is, as Seth Rogen said, like, 7,000 chapters long.
I only have maybe 10 more to go, but it's like a 40-50 hour book. Or
so you're well into the Brolin years by this point.
No, I'm not even met James Brolin.
Oh my god,
we're just past Yentl.
Oh my god, so she really like the last few decades are really just going to be like a chapter at the end.
We'll see.
Interesting.
Yentl was fun to hear about how she filmed it and the details.
How did she film it? Did she talk about the infamous nude scene?
No.
Getting men to show some peen?
Ooh.
Was she Me Too'd? Was there any type of intimacy?
Wow. Maybe I
coaches?
Should, maybe I missed it because I was listening in the middle of the night and I might have dozed off.
Hmm.
But she was copying Rembrandt for some of the shots. She was just like really nice and so smart, and she just went top drawer. She got always the best cinematographers. An interesting story. She first wanted this cinematographer who did... something iconic. I wish I could remember all these amazing movies, but she's like, I've kind of had a crush on him. And so she thought it might not be good for working with someone you're having a crush on.
Right.
But you know,
also a director and a DP, that's classic power struggle
yes,
material.
But she found someone who respected her.
Are there any examples in film history of DPs and directors who were together romantically?
Oh, I don't know any.
Yeah.
But I didn't know there was a DP who shot he's famous. And I remember I was in group therapy with his son. This is like saying too much.
Yeah,
maybe,
I feel like you had so not meant to say that, but that's okay. Yeah. We're
right,
not even paywalled
here. Can we go back?
Yeah, let's go back. What are
okay.
you going to say about it?
Once I was in group therapy with the son of a famous cinematographer who was kind of chic and knew everybody. And the cinematographer and his wife had, you know, you in the 80s, in 70s, 80s, maybe the best people around, parties and stuff. And the son was kind of not, how shall I say, not the son that this fancy DP would have liked, you know, like he was kind of,
he was a fail son,
as
they say,
yes,
within the Somali Minnesota community.
Exactly. Yeah. He was a fail son and he was marrying soon to be their fail daughter-in-law. And
wait, she was a fail daughter too?
Well, maybe they both were like, just not, you know, they're both sort of schlubby, but he was so nice, but he was just like, my mom will come up to my apartment and just, I could see her nose turn up. Like, she just thinks I'm a slob. And he was embarrassed to bring his fiance because she wasn't like fit physically. And he
physically fit. What's that?
Physically fit. I don't know. What
yeah,
is that?
Happy Mondays or The Streets or something.
Yeah. Oh, Fit. That was a street song with Fit.
Fit,
in it.
But don't you know it?
Fit, but don't you know it? Anyway, and I just like, I was love that guy. And he couldn't afford a diamond ring. So he got her like a fake diamond ring until he can afford one. And the whole thing was a bit like sad. But he, you know, I hope they're still happy together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope that therapy really worked out for him and he worked through some of those emotions and he's maintained his anonymity.
Yeah, he has because I didn't
see. Look,
give it
people,
away.
Look, people accuse. I'm bleeping that out, by the way, the name. And people accuse us of being name droppers, but the type of protection we have for real life issues, the cone of silence, it's undeniable here at Weirdly Together.
We only name drop big names because we're
and in flattering ways.
That's true.
So we had a really nice. The last few days in LA were really sweet, Daphne. Javich and Pally offered to throw us a little going away pop in for people who
we
wanted to
say
goodbye.
Lara Meyer Atkin.
Lara was there.
No, wait, Lara Meyer
Atkin.
Atkin. Okay, it sounded, I was thinking of the Atkin diet all of a sudden. I was like, wait.
No, but you know the unfortunate nickname that if you're Meyer Atkin and you're in high school, what they called her?
What?
My erection.
Oh, well, that's, you know, she, I could see
it's
she
flattering.
Could.
It's actually flattering, isn't
well,
it?
Well, you know, yeah. She's a sexy lady.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I did
probably gives a lot of people.
I did a cold plunge.
Oh, yeah, and all the
children.
Surrounded
by all the kids. Because
like,
Daphne's got her own, like, cold plunge now.
And they and an infrared right next
and
to each other.
Sauna.
Right next to a giant, gorgeous
I wanted to be in there
succulent.
To, yeah, I wanted to be in there to warm up, but the kids kept coming in and out of that. Infrared.
They were so cute surrounding you, like you were like the Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Just all look. It's funny because the last cold plunge I saw you do, well, I've seen you do them since, but the one with the, who's
Wim Hof.
Wim Hof fountain, Topanga. All like little
the
Mike,
Viking.
Little Micah was like playing with your beard while you were trying to concentrate. And this time all the little kids were standing around. Yep. It's like you're
teens. They were, oh yeah, and little kids
no,
too.
No, they were
yeah.
tiny kids.
No, that's true. Rich. But that was really nice. That was so nice of Daphne to, offer to host.
I know, that's so lovely.
Because it is the kind of thing where when you're going away, especially I think as this trip is
long.
You know, just indeterminate. Like we don't know exactly. Like we booked one-way tickets, we'll be back, but we're on an adventure.
Yes.
It's a little hard to schedule in goodbyes when we were working in the house and everything.
So I know, and there's something nice. Yeah, because we were sort of preparing our house to leave. So having people over would have felt stressful.
Yeah, it felt weird. And then how's it been? for you? How's your first few days been in Sydney?
Oh my God. I mean, it's amazing the way I say, oh my God. I mean, I'm loving this temporary apartment we're in. It's got really good feng shui.
We're in a very moneyed part of the eastern suburbs in this Airbnb.
The Airbnb is tiny, but
great.
Feng shui is so good.
We've walked to red leaf pools a couple times.
There's like light in every room.
For people that don't know, this area, Double Bay, is nicknamed Double Pay growing up.
Well, it's very relaxing. And
hit the Cosmopolitan, hit 21. I actually went to Baker Blue this morning, which we had heard about in LA as like the new bakery coffee spot. And it was really good. It's happening.
And your grandma used to come around, dress up to come to Double Bay, right?
Look, my grandmother, the Russian immigrant community, going out of the house, you were dressed up.
Yeah.
Like that's where I get my like not wanting to go out in sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
But to her, look, yes, Double Bay, you had to be a little fancy. The city, let me tell you.
Really fancy?
If you were going into the city, you wanted heels, you had your best jewelry on, you blow dried your, you know, you went and got your hair done.
So where would she go in the city? Like,
you know, Grace Brothers, David Jones, the Queen Victoria building. You never know who you might see.
Right. It's for who you might see.
It's just a respect for going. You got to remember, my grandmother grew up on a farm with 19 brothers.
Mm.
So this is like a rural agricultural community. The city.
I hope they didn't bother her.
You mean they bully her or whatever?
I don't know. Like the only girl.
You just imagine that being the only girl would have been hard. It would have been hard. Yeah.
I hope they babied her and just really.
Well, they looked after her because when her sort of immigrant journey was bouncing around from brother to brother looking after her.
I know.
Famously, she was hanging out with her brother, the gypsy violinist in Berlin in the 20s, and hang out with Einstein and
played for the Romanovs.
She didn't. Yes, another one of her brothers did. Yeah.
And she, you found in her sort of travels later that she maybe lived for a year in China.
Well, yeah, she, I guess my mom and aunt were going through her old paperwork at some point, and they looked at her papers arriving in Australia, and it was pretty much like 18 months or 2 years between when she left Germany and when she landed in Sydney. And then they found this other thing saying she'd been admitted to China along the way. And they were like, how long were you in China for? And she's like, oh, I just stopped off. But it was like a year or something. Amazing.
That's cool.
Anyway, we're here.
Yeah, we're in Australia.
And our immigrant story, you know.
Right. And back to us. And it's good. I mean, I'm happy again. Sorry, all the little things like just being comfortable. I mean, it's like I don't want to, you know, say we're in like a palatial giant house here, but it's a cozy little light-filled apartment. And it's beautiful. We went to Red Leaf.
Oh, how good was jumping in the ocean?
On the first day, before the jet lag really hits and you're like, I feel great. We went twice jumping in the ocean. And Kate, my older kid, and my little kid reunited. And they went and swam and lay on a dock and floating dock. This is the beach where there's a fence to keep the sharks out.
Yeah.
And we have had the most delicious food, fruit. You know, the fruit here. I love your mummy.
I walked into Woolworths yesterday to do a little groceries and they were blasting Something Borrowed, Something Blue. Speaking of Lara Myerkin, song I wrote with her. She wrote that riff.
Oh, she's
That's her.
Oh, I love that.
Kind of fun. It was fun hearing my song. And then there was like a weird little false alarm where I thought I was going to be playing on TV this weekend and then it sort of fell through. But it just felt like we've sort of hit the ground running and there's a lot happening, which I'm excited about.
I know. I'm really excited. I'm just landing. But I mean, it's really good. I don't know.
I think it's true to our form though as a family. We are creative. We're emotional.
Yeah.
We're dramatic.
Well, we saw an incredible apartment.
We were not planning to even start looking for places to live. We were just going to chill in the Airbnb for a few weeks. But then we all just got inspired and we went out looking.
Very unusual place that looked like a case study house in sort of Silver Lake. It's like this jewel attached to the bottom of a normal apartment building. And it was just so
designed by the architect.
So unique. Yeah. I mean, it looked like you were in a high-level furniture store, but it was like tiny, but like too tiny for three people. It would have felt like living in a very high-end, stylish office for like the chicest architectural person.
I will go on every record piece, saying I think we would have had a good experience there, but I'm also happy to let it go.
I think if it was, I mean, it was just the tiniest bit too small. It's hard to explain.
We saw it yesterday by accident. We didn't even realize we were looking at it.
But it was so unique.
Next thing we knew, we'd submitted an application.
It was hard not to. It's so unique. It's across from the old school Goldie went to when we lived here before. I mean, it's a little gem, but I have to say it was like right under this apartment building. And even though it had light, I felt, again, I don't know, feng shui. Yesterday, my word was touchstone.
You use touchstone quite a fair bit.
I'm going rolling it back to feng shui.
Yesterday, touchstone was your touchstone.
It was my touchstone.
You kept touching that stone yesterday.
Because I was like, I need to nest, even though we may be here just 6 months, whatever, you know, it's not forever and ever, unless it is, but I don't know. Goldie and I were like nesting, wanting to nest. Today, feng shui, that's so 80s of me, huh?
It's pretty cool. I think it's more 90s, I became aware of it in the 90s. But I think in the middle of the night, we submitted this application last night, and then we all woke up panicking in the middle of the night individually,
the
three of us.
Already in there, because I was like, I knew what I was seeing. I was seeing something that David Netto would admire, that Sally and Darren would love. Like, yeah, all these chic people would see it and be like, whoa, how'd you find this? Like, this is cool. But it was, honestly, the feng shui, it just felt like there was a building standing on top of you.
So you were more balancing the
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Prestige with the practicalities.
Yeah, it's cool, but I just want people to feel, I mean, I love design, but it was like, there was something a little uncomfortable, like being in a beautiful furniture store where you're like, oh my God, I want this mid-century, you know, sofa. Everything was really cool.
Yeah, and we've got a teenager and she's entitled to have her own world in her room a little bit. I think that's kind of like part of it too, that it was like just a little office study that would have been her bedroom.
Yeah, her bedroom was like a beautiful little office. Again, so chic. It would be like buying a vintage car that was a two-seater that was so cool, but it just like...
You could take it out on very specific drives along the PCH once a month.
Yeah, and everyone would be like, wow, cool car, but...
Little MG.
An MG, but is it like the right fit
I feel. Look, I think the journey was good. It's very interesting in our family, just because I think the three of us, well, the four of us, Kate too, as much as she wouldn't like to admit it, is like this also, you know? Like, I think she thinks of herself more as the voice of reason, but I think we're all equally just like, our imaginations drive our decision-making so much. Like, we do not easily get into like just the practical.
Yeah.
You know, just I mean, logic.
Yes. I mean, I think I was feeling practical. Like afterwards we were walking and you and Goldie were a little more like gagged over it. I mean, I was too, but I mean, it just, yeah, there was just something that was sort of, I don't know. I felt depressed. It was weird. And I was trying to decipher, am I just depressed because I'm jet lagged but then I came back to this apartment, which isn't going to be perfect. And also it's an Airbnb and that would be financially silly to keep going. But
I wonder if anyone has actually ever driven themselves to financial ruin by living in Airbnb.
I'm sure. But you know, this, I just felt like more relaxed because it was like, I don't know.
Well, I was relaxed to like withdraw the application. It did feel like it was a bit rushed. I think part of it is that like there's a real balance between being flexible and kind of allowing yourself to be inspired and make quick decisions, but also not decisions out of panic.
It was day two.
We're not even like mentally sound on day two of traveling to Australia. The idea you pick a place
honestly,
to live and sign a lease
is crazy.
It was that
unique and that kind of special. Like, again, it was like a jewel, a little bit of a jewel, that spot. But I'm curious if we saw something that actually was kind of amazing. It would still feel a bit soon.
It's also the whole thing of like last time we were here, we went unfurnished. We did a 12-month lease and we fully decorated and, you know, populated a townhouse in Paddington. And then at the end of the year, had to sell everything on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, that was sort of appealing.
Yeah, this place was
completely furnished with beautiful books, blah, blah, blah.
I love
enough about this.
Are you in, is this a Batsheva dress you're wearing today? It looks so good.
I know. It was fun packing my suitcase because I had like four new Batsheva. The exchange for walking the show was to get some clothes.
Love it.
So I felt like I was packing a trunk for a cruise ship.
So good. And you got, we're going to the opening night of the opera tomorrow night. What are you wearing?
This is more of a day dress.
Yeah, this is cash. Because I'm going to be in like a tux. I'm in a black
suit. I'm going more. I might wear a Batsheva dress. I mean, it's still, what season is it here?
It's autumn.
Like everywhere else in the world, no.
No, in America it's spring.
Okay, autumn. Sorry, I'm so confused. Still, okay, autumn. Yeah. I feel like I have a dress that's black, sort of not silk, damask. I don't know, but it's like black is more for winter, but it might work.
But it's like a black tie.
I can wear it. Black. So okay. I also have a jewel sort of green. Same material. These are both Batsheva dresses. So they're
cool,
fancy. But maybe the black one, it's so nice. And also I don't have to worry about tights because it's a little bit long.
I hate worrying about tights.
Worrying about tights keeps me up.
I am excited about our Weirder Together, our first show next week, the 27th at the Great Club.
Oh my God, next
week.
We've
got, I know it's 6 days away. It's amazing. Next Wednesday. Today's Thursday. So there's some great surprises. Great. We've obviously announced Montaigne's going to be involved and Nina Oyama, who are amazing. But we've also got a really good secret lineup of surprises.
I know.
And
I like that spot.
Yeah, it's at the Great Club in Marrickville and people can get tickets. And I also did on our most recent Substack, I did like a history of our variety shows, starting with like the thing we did with Lena at Largo about Oasis, the champagne super analysis, through to, you know, everything we've done. So it's kind of fun for people to get an idea of what it is that goes on at our events because it's a little hard to describe. It's just like, it's a bit like a step inside our imaginations and our cultural community. Mm-hmm. Communité, is that a word? Could there be any more pretentious pronunciation of a word than calling our cultural creative communauté?
Tarjé.
I'm going to start saying that. Yeah.
Remember when people would say Tarjé or we have Trader Joe's, TJ. No, wait, the Joe's. Those are cringy to me.
The Joe isn't pretentious. Tarjé had like a cultural criticism to it.
Not pretentious. The Joe is cringe.
You don't like the Joe?
But the Joe's is better.
Oh,
isn't
interesting.
Isn't that funny what cringes you?
It's more like a natural landform, calling it the Joe's. What gives you the ick?
The ick?
I've been thinking a lot about
I love
language.
Goldie's asking me if you give me the ick. I'm like, I'm not 12. Yeah, my husband does not give me the ick.
You're like, what gives you the ick after 15 years of marriage? Like,
and when you're this old, like, I don't know. When I used to get, you know, when you're young, you get the ick all the time.
I am totally. I remember like the things that would turn you off about somebody when you were younger it's like Seinfeld. They were just these like arbitrary things that you didn't even question. Like you never thought like, maybe I should work through that and see if I could actually connect. You were like, you got the ick and you were done.
Yeah. My grandma said, don't date someone because they have cool shoes or they dance well.
That's not cool shoes could give someone the ick.
Yeah. But that's the opposite of the ick. Just don't do it you know, if someone's kind and all these things. And I was like, I think I know what you mean.
What's the opposite of the ick?
Well, like if someone...
The dick.
If someone has BD energy. No, if someone's got cool shoes or they're a good dancer.
Yeah, that's true. Does he give you the ick or cool shoes? cool shoes is just all we should say. If someone's like, gives you a bit of, got a wow factor.
Love it. But cool Amanda Decadene and her friend used to say, is he Bob? And Bob meant the one.
Ooh, I like that.
But I've found Bobs to be an interesting, names are also interesting. What's in a name? Wait, is that Shakespearean? That's a Romeo and Juliet.
What?
What's in a name?
I'm
what's
not sure.
in a name? But in names, have you ever, it's sort of like astrological signs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little jet lagged still. Can't think of the word astrological, but.
Or the one where they feel the bumps on your head and they read your personality by it and stuff. Phrenology.
You have some little bumps.
I know,
on your
you
hand.
Could tell a lot about me, but these are quite self-inflicted through like.
I remember, I think myself. Martha Plimpton had played someone who had a shaved head, like cancer or something. In it, and she was like, in my head, you think your head's going to be I think it was Martha, but just going to be, you know, you don't know what it's like. And they shave it. She's like, and it was like bumpy and funny.
I think having short hair, I'll let you get back to the astrology, but just having short hair for me. One of the great surprises has been I actually quite like the shape of my head. Like, because my ears stick out, I was a little nervous that was going to be the first of many surprises.
I like your masking.
But I quite like. Anyway, let's back to the
it's
astrology.
It's not astrology. I was talking about names.
Oh, back
like,
to names.
Have you ever noticed, like, you know, like they say that dumb thing about Karen or whatever, like that certain names have a vibe to them? Like,
sure. I mean, some of them have the ick and some of them are cool shoes.
Bens are warm.
Yeah, true. Bubbly, friendly, like Benny, the mentally disabled lawyer, janitor from L.A. Law.
Oh, I never saw that, but that's yeah, you were watching American television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what else? What other names?
Kates seem kind of strong and waspy, and not waspy, but just like strong and
composed.
Yeah.
Cheekbones.
Yes. Yeah. Chickbones.
Chickbones. And what else? What are
like what's a what it's a like there's certain names where people like I don't know if Bobs are sort of peculiar, but I don't think so. But there's
Sable.
That sounds like dignified and warm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what names like are sinister or you know what I mean. Like anyway.
I hear you.
So fun.
So fun. So I've got some gigs. I mean, there's going to be a lot of gigs. I've actually got my record coming out in September, and we're going to start rolling out singles.
Oh my God. Your videos and the artwork are just, and the songs, but the whole thing is tight.
It's really cool.
Oh, that's another thing I'm loving about Barbra Streisand. Every sort of,
tell me.
She's like, I was in my jacuzzi and I was loving these tiles, these burgundy tiles. And I just thought, I'm going to do an album and call it Wet. And all songs are going to be about water. Like, you know, like, it's raining, it's pouring, my love life is boring. And then she always covers songs usually. But it's like you, I love living, growing up with a musician, I was going to say. But living with a musician, I don't know if the Beastie Boys or Chili Peppers did this. But with you, I've seen that you'll have, it's like concept. It's not all concept albums, but she had a lot of concept albums. But it was just a starting place.
Yeah, I think if you're a solo artist, it's much easier to settle on a vision. If you're a band, getting the consensus, or worse, if you don't have a consensus and there's a vote and three of your members are into a concept and two aren't, it's like very hard to like really see.
What was the concept album for Lisa?
Loeb? Staying was the concept. No,
sorry. The one that was like the Rolling Exile on Main Street or something.
Oh, Liz Phair.
Was that a concept?
Well, Liz Phair called her record Exiling Guyville.
Right.
And it was, supposedly it was a song by song response to Exile on Main Street. But I think concepts are like superimposed on albums later
after,
as a way of kind of creating a media narrative for them.
It's like a series of paintings, like I'm going to be doing.
Oh, yeah. I want to plug a couple shows.
I'm doing
a show, Dashville Nights, Friday, April 5th. Dashville is the Hunter Valley. I'm doing a show Friday, May 3rd in Nunawading, Victoria, at The Round. It's a brand new, very fancy theatre. Apparently. And as we said, next Wednesday, the 27th of March, the Weirder Together show at The Great Club. All of those tickets are available to all of those on my website. And Yeah.
What a life. What a town.
What a podcast.
What a podcast. It's very exciting.
It is
exciting. You're kind of like a good coffee. Like your shows are just, it's just always good.
It's so funny. As I get older, I'm, it's like.
I'm not saying your shows feel like a good coffee, but it's consistently good. Like, once you're there and getting it, it's just giving.
Yeah, I think as I get older, I think you're a lot of the bravado slips away and you end up with the craft of what you actually do and what you can do. And in some ways I feel more insecure as I get older. You were saying the other day, someone said that.
Yeah, it was that, again, sorry, everything's Babs. Through the lens of that. But she did that show with Judy Garland and Judy. You'll see, if you see them doing that, it'd Get Happy and Happy Days Are Here Again. But you'll see Judy Garland grab Barbara Streisand, and Barbara Streisand was like 21 and Judy Garland was like 41 however old Barbara Streisand was, in her 20s. She was surprised that Judy Garland was nervous, and Judy Garland was saying, as you get older, you're sort of, I think it's a combination of, you've had a couple scares. Like Barbara wasn't at that age, but then had one big show, maybe in Sheep's Meadow or somewhere or on TV, where she forgot some of her lyrics for the first time. And it made her not want to perform live for a really long time. So the combination of having scary experiences.
Yeah, getting humbled.
And you also, Judy Garland was saying, like, not that people are waiting for you to fail, but they're like, there's a lot of scrutiny or something.
Yeah. And I think in some ways the humbling that happens with age, it can also be mistaken for insecurity or fear, but it's actually just right-sizedness. Mm. Whereas when you're young, I totally buffered myself with delusions of grandeur, because that's sort of how you get through. I mean, to me, that's what like rock and roll is all about.
And you're sort of like, well, you're almost as surprised as everyone. Like, I'm talented. Totally. Wow. Like, oh, I guess. And there's a lot of pressure, but it's sort of like, wow, who knew? Like, oh, I can do this and I'm an ingenue and I've got something, I guess, and give me a chance. And, it's sort of, and then as you get older, it's like, is she still going to be good? Is she, can you deliver?
But again, I think it's like, it's not all wrong. You know what I mean? Like in a way, it's like when you go through natural, like the types of suffering or difficulties you go through in life, it's appropriate to feel death closer to you. It's appropriate to feel failure within reach.
Yeah.
It's actually correct thinking. What I mean? I think you actually become a more responsible, empathetic, compassionate artist and person by being less delusional about your power in the situation and by realizing everything's transient and everything can pass away. Yeah. So there you go. Beautiful babies.
I got hit with some jet lag just now.
All right. Perfect time to end it. All right. We're going to be back on our regular schedule next week. Come on out to the Weirder Together variety show, the 27th. And as always, people are starting to subscribe to the Substack and realizing like, they not only get the video of this podcast, but they get an extra episode every week.
And
they
get good content.
A bunch of extra content, $5 a month. Head over to our Substack. The link is in the show notes. And we love you.
Beautiful babies.
Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.